The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, one of the more unexpected images in the news this week was of a group of people in swimwear surrounded by tropical fruit sitting outside the Dáil in the lashing rain. They were Extinction Rebellion protesters turning the spotlight once again on climate change. Also this week, Google workers submitted a letter to their employer calling for zero emissions by 2030. And just yesterday, Climate Strike was named Word of the Year for 2019. In the week ahead, RTE plans a major focus on climate change. But to talk through some of the trends for consumers and companies, we're joined by Tomas Serkovic, CEO of Business in the Community Ireland, and Professor John Walsh from the Irish Centre for Research in Applied Geosciences at UCD. You're both very welcome to the programme. Tomas, if I could go to you first.
Sure.
Business is trying to grapple with this. What are they coming up with? What kinds of things are they coming up with to try and introduce new products and new ways of doing things?
I guess the interesting thing, Richard, is that on the one hand, we know the urgency that's out there, the strikes, the Gretas of this world telling us we need to do something. On the other hand, we need to understand that there's money to be made in that so-called low-carbon economy. And there's a lot of things going on. So if you look, for instance, at flying, and that's something we're always concerned about, the emissions from flying. So, for instance, companies telling their employees that if they're going to go on holidays and they're going to go by rail, they'll get extra days of annual leave. So a way of incentivizing change in their behaviours.
They might be able to do more work on the train as well.
Could be an opportunity. But I guess they're also talking about going on holidays. If you're going on holidays by rail, then you get the extra days. KLM, the Dutch airline, has put up this initiative called Fly Responsibly. And, you know, we might be all very cynical and think it's spin, but their initiatives ask us to think, do you really need to do that meeting face-to-face? Can you take the train instead? Which, as you can imagine, it's a challenging
proposition. What about frequent flyer programs? They encourage,
absolutely,
reward people to fly more often, don't they?
Yes, and it's interesting that the UK's advisory body, the Climate Change Commission, has suggested banning frequent flying programs, saying that what the programs are promoting is that we keep up with the flying so we can keep that gold status or whatever we want to have. So by banning them, we should be encouraged to fly less. Most of the flights, domestic flights in the UK, are done for business purposes. So there's an opportunity there to change behaviours.
Did I read something about tyres?
Absolutely. And this whole world of the circular economy, you know, thinking that materials need to be reused, it's this notion of the product as a service. So Michelin, for instance, has come up with the idea, which is not novel. It's been used for decades, that you don't buy a tire for your car, but that you lease it. And when the tire is worn, you give it back to Michelin. They'll give you a new one and you'll keep on paying for the lease of that tire. So it's rethinking our models.
Recycling would be more effective. There would be more recycling going on.
Absolutely.
Through that model.
Yes.
Professor John Walsh, one of the things when companies try to respond to climate change and we look at new technologies and new ways of doing things, whether it's wind energy and power, this puts pressure on other natural resources, doesn't it? Because it increases the demand for them.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, one of the things that we have to deal with is that in transitioning from fossil fuels to renewables, for example, there are certain metals, which most people wouldn't even know about, are critical to the generation of renewable energy from natural resources. So, for example, wind. All wind turbines have an element which most of us don't know about, which is neodymium.
And neodymium.
Yeah. And it produces the most powerful magnet that we can generate. And those magnets transform wind energy to electricity. But 80% of neodymium is produced in China. And they've obviously got their own sort of economic goals and so on. So there's obviously a security issue.
So they control the supply, essentially, of neodymium.
They effectively do.
Is that because they have found it or they're processing it?
No, they're actually very wealthy in that particular mineral. And different parts of the world have different elements. I mean, there is an issue, though, even with them, that if we were to produce at the rates that we produce neodymium now, then to replace fossil fuels, we would have to mine the neodymium for 250 years. Now, that's obviously not going to happen. So we have to gear up its finding and its production.
Cobalt.
Yes.
Is another one. What? Tell me about that.
Well, cobalt is now recognized to potentially be the element that will underpin batteries. So if we're going to be going to electric cars, if we're going to have batteries which will store the energy we get when the wind blows for when the wind doesn't blow, then cobalt will underpin that.
Who's got all the cobalt?
Well, more than 50% of the cobalt is in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And it is a country with challenges. It is producing cycling of the costs of cobalt, but we do need to produce both resources which are secure and also to do it sustainably and I suppose also ethically. And there are all sorts of difficult issues surrounding that.
Have we got anything, John, in Ireland that might make us wealthy in all of this?
Well, Ireland, surprisingly, I suppose for most people...
We've got water, but it seems to be in the wrong places half the time.
Well, yeah.
But if we a metal or anything?
Well, we do. Ireland has the highest concentration of zinc in the world. So we are really rich in zinc for our area.
How important is zinc?
Well, zinc you do use in batteries. It's basically an anti-rusting agent. You put it in paints and medicine, and we're one of the biggest producers of it. In fact, a byproduct of zinc could end up, looks like it could be a couple of elements, again, which most people don't hear about, which is gallium and indium, and they're in every smartphone you use. These are semiconductors. A smartphone in itself is such a demanding piece of technology in terms of resources, and obviously we have to replace those both for renewables and for the technologies that underpin them, not to mention water, which is pretty basic, but we know now
we don't have to find that anyway.
Well,
but we have to manage it.
Oddly enough, more than a quarter of Ireland's water is developed from under the ground. So the likes of Glanbia depends, that food processing plant, of water from under the ground. It's actually better water because, as we've seen, that with the severe weather, when the rain really comes down, that we start churning up particles within the water, and then we can't produce clean water, as the Northsiders known. So oddly enough, these extreme weather conditions which produce severe rain and also drought are ones which, oddly enough, they're not necessarily the best conditions for water.
Thomas, we've talked about some of the issues that have arisen with companies and with products, and we hear a lot about compostable trays and airlines and things like that. What's the outlook of all of this for investors? Are investors interested in do they have the appetite for a lot of these changes?
Well, funny enough, this week was Climate Finance Week, and funny enough as well, on Monday, the US pulled out of the Paris Agreement, so it's a up and down, but there's massive interest and it's a growing interest. So companies like AIB and Bank of Ireland coming out with green loans and green mortgages, further pressure from investors to know of the companies that are investing. The notion of stranded assets, now it's something no investor wants to be left with. Irish Life, for instance, also announced this week that they want to have up to 30% of their investment portfolio proofed for that low carbon future we're all going to. So there's definitely a lot happening, and it's in the consumer sphere. I don't know if you heard about the Do Black MasterCard credit card. I was reading about it. It's fascinating, and it's basically a Swedish fintech that has an app that measures the carbon emissions of what you buy.
Right.
So instead of
that will get us all thinking differently when we spend money.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's Thomas Cerkovich and Professor John Walsh. Thank you very much for joining us on the program.